And welcome to episode one of the That's P1 podcast. Podcast for people who got into Formula One after watching Drive to Survive and are wondering, what next? I'm Ryan Thomas.
And I am Sarah Thomas.
We are husband and wife sports fans, but never considered racing cars to be anything interesting.
No.
And then Netflix came out.
And I'm not even into cars.
No. I mean,
I'm into red cars and blue cars.
Yeah. To me. I like nice cars, but I don't know anything about them. If the nice cars break, then I'm useless.
No. But I like watching F1 because of the Netflix show. And now I've gotten really into it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And so we sit around and in a Grand Prix weekend, we'll watch something on Saturday together live. We'll watch the race on Sunday. And, you know, we're talking about it Friday morning, because they're in Europe. We're seeing Instagram posts and stuff that's happening across the world. And we're joking about it at the breakfast table with the kids before they go to school. And it's just, it's a fun part of our lives. And these guys are really funny.
Yeah. So this is a podcast by a couple of fans for something fun. This isn't expert in anything. It's just fun.
Yeah. If you want to learn about floors, rear wings, diffusers, I'm running out of the bits and bobs that are on the cars. If you want to learn
technical things, this isn't.
Don't come here.
This isn't that one.
Occasionally, there may be a story one of us read that talked about that we'll mention.
But we don't. We're not the experts. We don't have that information.
And we don't even play them on TV.
No.
Nor did we spend the night in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Is it Holiday Inn that does those commercials?
I mean, they did back in the day. It was Holiday Inn Express.
Oh.
I'm not a doctor, but I did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
I just had forgotten that it was Holiday Inn. Moving on.
It wasn't a great reference.
This weekend,
where were we?
In the Netherlands. A.K.A.
Holland.
A.K.A.
They have another one. The city is called Vanzort or Zandvoort. I think it's Zandvoort.
Something like that.
It's Zandvoort, yeah. And
we were in Max country.
We were in Max country. And if you watch Drive to Survive, you know that anywhere Max goes, there are orange people in the fans lighting off literal smoke flares.
Yes.
And for a couple of years, people have been really interested to see, okay, what's it going to be like when they don't have to travel to see him? And we weren't let down.
There.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good
up
point.
Up there.
Yep. He's a dual national. He was born in Belgium and then raised in Holland, Netherlands, that country.
Yeah.
We're very American, so all of those other little countries kind of run together.
I apologize. We don't mean to be rude.
Yeah, we're not doing that on purpose.
But, so this weekend, they were at
Holland, Netherlands, Zandvoort.
What's the race? Zandvoort. They were at Zandvoort in the middle of a 3 race in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Triple header.
Triple header. In the middle of a triple header. Though last week didn't really count. Or does it? I don't know.
It half counts.
I mean, it counts. Yeah, half counts for points.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for later.
We spent 4 hours of that, which we'll get into when we talk about standings.
But let's talk about this weekend.
Yep.
So, drum roll, the big winner was...
I finally got it. We're not going to do that again. Episode 2 will not have that. Max Verstappen won the Dutch Grand Prix.
Yes.
Coming in second place on the podium was
Lewis Hamilton.
And
of course.
Third, Valtteri Bottas.
Oh, Valtteri. He's one that will definitely have his own little section for this week's podcast.
Yeah. Side note, that podium combination of those three guys is the most common podium combination in F1 history.
I believe it.
But we had a race on Sunday. Things don't just show up. They don't just show up and race on Sunday. So going into Friday and Saturday.
All right. So let's go. So what happened on Friday?
Friday we had practice.
Okay. And how many rounds of practice do you do?
We have 3 rounds of practice, 2 on Friday, 1 on Saturday.
Okay. What happened on, or was there anything interesting that happened on Friday?
Two things were interesting.
Okay.
Both involving problems.
Okay.
Early on in the first practice session, Sebastian Vettel, who races for Aston Martin, we like him. He's a hilarious guy. His car shut down. He had a problem with his engine, and he pulled over to the side, and he can tell from sensors and by information that the garage, his team back at the pit lane, are telling him, and he knew even though he'd gotten his car stopped, he still had a problem. And so he got out, and there's a hilarious Instagram video from all the onboard cameras of Seb grabbing a fire extinguisher from a Marshall and trying to put out an internal fire. You can't really see smoke, but he can in his engine, but he can't figure out how to make it work. And
he
so
couldn't get this,
you
the
see
fire
him,
extinguisher?
He's messing with it and he's looking over and the marshals are clearly waving at him. And one starts to come over and he waves like, no, this thing is still a problem. And they're like pantomiming to him how to pull a pin or whatever he's got to do. And then he sprays his car down. Hilarious.
Okay, that's it's hilarious because everything was fine. He was safe.
Yes.
But yes, that is funny. What was the other big thing?
The other thing was in the next session, Lewis Hamilton, the defending champion for Mercedes and the main championship rival, his car sort of broke through a fault. Like our cars, you get a light on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
He got a light on the dashboard, and his team said, yeah, stop.
Okay.
And it was at one of the turns. The only interesting turns on this track are banked turns, so they're at an angle. They're not level. And it was on that banked turn, one of those turns, and people wondered if that meant there would be a problem for his car in a race. Because if you can't go into a bank turns, because they don't do those often. So those are the only interesting things that happened on Friday and even Saturday morning.
Okay. But nothing big happened.
Mm-mm. Nothing big.
Okay.
Then on Saturday, the main event is qualifying.
Yes.
Quali if you're in the club.
Which obviously we are.
Clearly.
So to do qualifying, you do 3 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
They are timed a number of minutes that they have to get as fast as they can around, right?
Yeah.
By lap.
Yep. So each one is...
I didn't explain that very clearly.
No, few people... no one's going to listen to this. But if you are, just go watch a qualifying session and it will make sense.
Yeah.
No one explaining it to you makes sense. But it's timed periods. So think like a quarter of football. And in that quarter, that's all the time you have in that session to set your fastest lap.
So you can go out there and do a super fast lap and only have to do one if you feel confident that that lap is going to get you to the next round. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel like you can do a little faster, you can keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to you.
And what do you mean by moving on?
Because in the first qualifying round, only the top 15 times go through to Q2.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Q2, it's only the top 10 top 10 who go on. And then that in Q3, and that determines the order in which they line up for Sunday's race.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
We got there.
If you get knocked out, you're locked into that number. If you move on, you have a chance in that next session to get a better number.
Yeah. And it's usually every week. It's usually about the same players in each round.
Yeah.
You know who's going to be.
There could be some surprises, but there can be.
Yeah.
There are some teams who their big celebration is on Saturday because they eked it out into Q2.
They made it into Q2 and they're so excited.
And then they get destroyed in Q2. But yeah. Everybody's happy because they made it.
So for this week, what were the big surprises for qualifying?
This week, we actually had surprises. Usually.
We did.
Usually qualifying is a slow build. You can kind of watch. You could skip Q1 and Q2 and come watch Q3 for the excitement. It's a slow build. But this week, because of some traffic, because it's timed, if you don't get around in time to start your lap before the clock hits zero, you don't get to set a lap. And everybody wants room in front of them to go really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so every week, people almost don't get across the line in time. And this week, there were people who didn't get across the line in time. And so we had some really surprising outs in Q1.
Yeah. Which would you say is the biggest surprise? I don't know which one I would say is the biggest.
I would say the biggest surprise is Lando Norris. He has been so good this season.
Mm-hmm.
Really building on an awesome 2020 season when he came out.
Mm-hmm. He's done really well with McLaren.
He's had two podiums. He's averaging, I think, fourth place.
Yeah.
And he went out in Q1, and I think he was 16th. And just, their car just didn't have a good day.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the setup right, you know, whatever it was. It just didn't agree. And then he's one who didn't get to set or have a chance to try to set his second his second lap. Who's your, maybe not the biggest, but who's your shocking out? Well,
obviously, I'm going to say Checo. I love Perez.
Sergio's the bomb.
Sergio's awesome. I think he's really fun because of Netflix show. And he did so well at first. And he was behind Max in time. But he was solidly in like sixth spot. And then just slowly, as people started crossing the checkered, it just went down, down, down. And all of a sudden he ended up not able to. And it was like, what happened?
And
it's so frustrating for him because
he's doing everything he can. He's trying to do everything right.
He's had a tough season. He's had some really good races and some really tough ones as well. I want him to do well. So that was
heartbreaking.
It was. And then the other big surprise, which we talked about kind of already, Vettel.
Yeah. Can't remember where he was, but he got knocked out.
Yeah. He was like right, I think, below Checo.
Love Vettel. He's a four-time world champion. He won a bunch at Red Bull. And then in 2015, went to Ferrari. Had a horrible time there. And so if you've come into the sport recently, especially if you've come into it through Netflix, none of the Netflix seasons lead you to believe he's really that good. But we've seen a couple times this season out of the Ferrari car.
He is good.
He's still got some talent.
Yeah.
But this week sucked.
This week sucked. So we finished quali and some surprising.
Yep. Otherwise, not terribly surprising. Max set pole.
Yep.
Which means he starts first. And then Lewis is right behind him, and then Valtteri.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it kind of doesn't matter. It was Pierre Gasly, but
it was kind of the usual players.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the reason you want first is they talk about starting on the front row or second row, but they don't. First and second don't start even. So first is staggered by, I think, 3 meters in front of number two. So even though number two, you're really close, you're already a few feet behind the guy in front of you. So you really want first place to beat them into the turn and go off into the distance.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Ideally.
And out of the madness of everybody else.
Yeah. Because these cars driving that fast, doing turns.
It's like the opening of a Hunger Games.
Oh, it is. I never thought about it that way.
Don't go to the cornucopia. You run. And you want to be first and second to get out away from it as fast as you can.
Yeah, that's a really good reference.
I just thought of that.
Well done. Thank on the you. Fly.
And I don't even like the Hunger Games.
It tailed off. Anyway.
Okay, so Sunday.
Yeah. Woo. Race time.
Race day. We're so excited. Max won. But what were the big moments?
I think one of the big moments for me was watching them. They do what's called a formation lap where they drive around. So everybody, when you see them at the beginning, they've got all the carts and all the people surrounding the cars, and they're on their starting places on the grid. And you see them just drive in a circle. They call it a formation lap. They all drive out. The person in first leads everybody around the track, and it gives time for the support crew to get off the grid so they're in a safe spot, but it also gives time for guys to set up their cars and do some finicky things. Max is in first, and so he comes around the last turn to enter the straight, you know, to get into his parking spot. And as he makes that turn, and the big crowd on that start-finish straight sees their guy come around into view at the start of the real race, it goes nuts. And they've had big crowds.
It was fun.
And you can't always hear it on TV, mm-hmm. but you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. Not everybody likes him. He's kind of a douche. But to see a crowd get behind a guy like that was awesome.
Yeah. And the guys were saying, like, every time he came around the corner to do that section, everybody cheered and yelled, even in practice and things like that. So that was really fun and exciting because it was a big race for him.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he got to do that.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
It was.
And after that, I mean, that and then, you know, spoiler alert, he won. So yes. When he comes around to take the checkered flag as the winner, it really went nuts. And it was even difficult to hear the commentators speaking because of all the crowd volume. But those were my two big takeaway, or the things that stuck out to me about the race. What got your attention?
Okay. Well, one of the things I really liked was there were no safety cars.
Yeah.
No major accidents, incidents. There were just a couple that were going to be reviewed later, but no major problems. No one, like, there were a couple of cars that didn't finish, but they weren't for any major reasons. There were no safety cars. No one had to stop, like, but it was still a really good race because it really ended up in the last few laps, even between Max and Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was a race of strategy in their tires and when do they pit. And that was fun because it had nothing to do with, well, we're getting behind a safety car and then because a safety car kind of resets everything.
It does.
So there was none of that. And it really was just a good race.
Nothing was artificial.
Yeah. There were no little extra helps or. So I like that. I thought that was fun.
Been a while.
It's been a while since we've had.
Just a straight.
A straight race fight. Without any major problems. So that was good. The other big thing, and you're smiling because you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Checo.
Yep.
He started. So we already said that he started like 16th or something. But they chose to replace something in his car. I don't know what.
His engine.
They did something like that. And because of something, the number of times they've replaced it or mm-hmm. many, something like that. It doesn't matter. He was going to do a pit start, which means he didn't line up. He had to start in the pit lane. So he didn't even start with everybody. He was basically behind the last person. And he just slowly picked everybody off one by one as he passed people. And this was a tough track to pass people.
Mm-hmm. We'd been told.
And then, yeah, the announcers were saying, oh, there's hardly any passing. And you see Checo just go whoop right around him. Like, no problem. And at first, like, their tire strategy looked like it wasn't going to work. Because they were going to try to go out there and make him last as long as he could. And, like, immediately had a big bald spot on the tire that even I could see.
Yeah.
Which is saying something. So he had to go in and pit early. Hmm. So you're thinking, oh, no. It's not going to work. He's going to be stuck at the end. Or he's not going to be able to finish. And he stuck it out. And he ended way up in, like, what, sixth?
And he finally got eighth.
Eighth.
Which...
still...
From
starting from the pit to making all the way up to the eighth, like, I thought that was really good driving.
It was massive. And he got driver of the day is their big fan vote. But
it was well earned, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
He was slow and steady, just picking everybody off. He did great outside mm-hmm. overtakes.
Which are super exciting.
Yeah. He made it look easy. And I was really impressed with that.
My favorite was, I can't remember who he passed, but he passed somebody. And his engineer, the person you hear talking to the driver, said, good job, Checo. And he said, vamos, who's next?
Yes.
And
he was ready. He was hungry.
Just because you're right. We don't see one driver might make two overtakes an entire race. And the rest of his ups and downs are because of other people pitting and other things. Mm-hmm. And so to see one driver, one we like, but one driver make, I can think of five passes off the top of my head in one race. That's just exciting.
Mm-hmm. And he really just, he was focused. He just took his time going around him. It was fun to watch. He did really well, and I was proud of him because the last few races haven't been good.
Nope.
It's been a struggle. And I like that he was able to do this to show, hey, they made a right choice in keeping me for next season. This wasn't a fluke.
This is why they signed me.
Yeah. And he's good at that. Not everybody's good at passing or being patient enough to pass. And he's good at working through people.
Hmm. Working through traffic.
Mm-hmm. It's...
makes driving in traffic on our highways look like nothing. Yeah. But not everybody can drive in regular people traffic. So it's the same with drivers. Not everybody can handle Mm-mm. driver traffic.
But it was a good week, I thought. It was a good, fun race.
It was a great drive for him. Lewis and Mercedes, they had some fun. You know, let's try this tire and let's go at Red Bull on this tire.
Because mm-hmm.
Max got an awesome start and by the first lap was almost 2 seconds ahead.
He got really ahead for a while. Like, it was, okay, are they going to be...
is he just going to take his ball and go home?
Yeah. This isn't going to be a race at all for first.
And Mercedes did a few pit stops, and one of the pit stops they did with Lewis, sometimes they'll tell the guy, hey, come in, box, box, box. But that also tells the other team you're doing it. And so they clearly gave him some kind of code because he's driving behind Max and then just... peels off into the pit lane
mm-hmm.
and it was surprising. And again, so much of this sport is structured and planned.
Yeah. Usually the surprises you get are bad surprises.
That's a good way to put it. It's rare to get a good surprise.
Yeah. It's someone spinning or an accident. It's not a good surprise.
Mm-mm.
So the fact that it was just like a, whoa, what is he doing? It was fun.
It was cool. And
they got to have a real race between the two of them.
And everybody was throwing their best shot.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, Red Bull had an answer.
Yeah. The Red Bull car has been fast all season long. It's just been a slightly faster all season long. And Lewis said that from week one of the, I can't do this.
We've got a problem.
Yeah.
Because
he knew the car wasn't as fast as they needed.
But if it's just a little faster, that brings it to strategy.
Yes.
Because last year, the Mercedes car was so much faster
nothing else.
No strategy is going to make up that much gap. And so now it really does come down to, as the British would say, did you do your maths correctly? And if you do, then you could have a chance, if you did the right math, to get ahead of a faster car. And that kind of stuff is just really fun. It's really cool to watch. It was a great race. It was very straightforward. Some of these can be long because you get a safety car and it takes forever. Mm-hmm. This is a really straightforward hour and a half.
It was. There were no, was that a dirty move or not? Mm-mm. No instances of that. It was a clean race. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that one of the big things that everybody's talking about is fastest lap.
Yeah. So tell us about the fastest lap. Why do we even care who went around the fastest if they didn't win?
So the only people you get points are if you finish in the top 10 spots. If you finish in the top 10 and you get the fastest lap, that's an additional point. All the points are cumulative throughout the season, and that's what determines the individual driver and the constructor. Constructor, did I say that right? Winning at the end of the season.
Yep.
So you want every single point you can get. So getting that little extra point may make a difference at the end of the season. That one point may make a difference. And right now, the race is very, very close between Max and Hamilton. Like, so close in points.
The gap today is 4 points.
Which is ridiculous. And it's the first time in a while that we've had a close point.
I mean, you and I have never seen one.
I haven't, because you know this is year two.
Well, I've never seen one. I watched a lot of old races during COVID, during the lockdown, and it was all just a lot of great shots of the back of Lewis Hamilton's car as he drives off into the distance.
And so this week it ended up with the fastest lap going to to Lewis Hamilton.
But I, at one point late in the race, saw Valtteri Bottas with the fastest lap indicator.
Yeah, so Valtteri was in P3, and it seemed like he was going to come in and try for the fastest lap. However, you could also hear Lewis going, I need that point, because he knew he was going to get second place. He knew the race between him and Max is very close. And he knows 1 point difference may make the difference at the end of the season.
And when you say you could hear him,
he said, I need that point. And he is the lead driver. So Valtteri is out there trying to get it. On fresh tires.
Killing it.
Getting it. And then he gets that heartbreaking message of, don't go for it. And I love that there was a big break. It was like silence for like 2 seconds, which doesn't seem very long, except when you're waiting to hear that response back. And then they said it again, don't go for fastest lap. And you hear him, okay. And that was it. And he still got it that time. And he slowed down. But at that point, he had gotten fastest lap. Mm-hmm. It was too late. And Lewis then got it. He still sped up
and got the
managed to get that extra point. But it was kind of heartbreaking for Valtteri. Like, sorry, dude. Once again, you have to not get points in order for your teammate.
Because we've seen old races where they've told Valtteri, pull over so Lewis can pass you.
Yeah.
Like, he can't pass you on his own because of pace and aerodynamics, all this stuff. But we need him to finish ahead of you. So in this turn, pull over, go slow, let him pass. And I can't imagine what that's like for an alpha guy like that.
These guys are all alphas. They've been trained and they work with themselves to want to win and to push themselves. And then they're told, no, you have to step aside. Like, that's tough. And how many times has he had to do that? And
a lot.
Knowing going into this week that there were big announcements coming.
Yeah. So race is finished. We dropped the checkered flag.
All right. Then you wake up Monday morning, and what do you see?
First thing. Valtteri Bottas.
Is moving to
Alfa Romeo.
Thank you.
Alfa Romeo,
thank you for your service,
is a clear step down.
It is.
They've had good times, but they are not good. You saw on Netflix, if you're listening to this, they talk about the number of drivers they've had who have won world championships, but not with them.
They get them on their way out.
Or on the way up.
Yeah.
They find the talent, and then they go to the good team. Or they get you on the tail end. It's on either end of the bell curve. And that's where he's going.
Which I think is a better move than Williams. Because I feel like, I feel like Williams is such the springboard to. Mm-hmm. It'd be like going back down a level, almost like, oh, you go back to the baby leagues. And at least this way, it's a total fresh.
True. And he was at Williams before he went to Mercedes.
Yes. So it's not it doesn't feel like a backward move. But
I can see that. And it's a multi-year deal, which to these guys is important. Because you need that security, because so much of it is out of your hands. You need to know this season I can get screwed. Bad luck can happen, but I got next year to prove what I can do.
So he'll have a little bit.
So we knew
going in, he knew. And while we watched it all, but he already knew what was going on.
He's
doing this race knowing that tomorrow it's going to be announced he's leaving. So he wants to finish this season to show I'm good. I deserve a good spot. I am just as good as Lewis.
But he wants to show that.
And
he knows he'll never be in a car like this again.
Yeah. This is the best car he's going to have, probably. And he has a lot to drop the mic on his way out and once again lose point number two. So what we tell Valtteri is, you ready for this?
Yeah.
You are a great number two.
You told me as we were getting ready for the show that you had a great Lost reference. And you said, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a great Lost reference. You'll know when you get it. And yeah, you were a great number two.
You were a great number two.
It was. And that's essentially what Lewis said. It was a great reference.
Because that he was a good number two for Lewis. He's a good racer on his own.
Well, look at.
But so many times he had to just keep people back.
And keep them out of Lewis's way. But Red Bull would take that. We've watched Netflix. We know that second Red Bull seat. They've got guys who aren't even scoring points a lot of times. They would love a guy who's guaranteed fourth or higher every week.
Yep. You're not going to win the championship, but you're going to win points. And you're going to get a good car.
Red Bull would give you a lot of soda cans to come do that for them.
Yeah.
He's just not engaging enough.
No.
For Red Bull. He's too plain.
Yeah.
Checo's nice to look at and is pretty funny. Valtteri, not so much.
No. So, goodbye, Valtteri.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then today, the big announcement was, or today is Tuesday, so.
Tuesday, they announced that his replacement would be George Russell. Coming from Williams. This is his third season.
Little baby Russell.
And he's been in the Williams. He won every level he's been at. Has kind of been touted. Not kind of. He's been touted as the next great driver. And especially the next great British driver. Which the sport is Anglo-centric. And he's going to be a thing.
And it was fun because last season when Lewis Hamilton got COVID, he had to sit a race out, and George took his seat. So that was fun. He didn't get any points, but he almost did. And he had a really good race.
And it wasn't his fault.
No, there were technical problems that caused him to.
He was leading the race in two separate occasions.
So people knew, like, oh, okay, this was a. There have been rumors about him coming up to Mercedes for a while. So no one was surprised when they announced it. But it'll be fun. He's young. He's fresh. He's hungry.
Is he going to pull over?
I think that's what's going to be interesting to watch for the next couple of years is, will he be a number two? Or will he want to fight?
Because he's already Alpha. Better than Valtteri was.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk a lot about
he's
that.
He's the next generation, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. We'll talk a lot about that when we reset the next season.
And how see that what dynamic, Netflix is showing us in yeah. this season.
I heard on a podcast I was listening to this week, they weren't sure if it was a conspiracy or real, but they said they heard that Netflix had them stage a fake signing in the garage with George. Because Netflix was with Mercedes this week.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, it's a good week to be with them, but I also feel like every week we say, oh, this would be a good week to be with fill in the blank, and it's usually Red Bull or Mercedes because they have a lot going on. But
and that's where the drama is so often.
But there is drama in the middle ones too, because they're just fighting to stay alive and to keep going. And the ones at the very bottom, they're fighting to literally stay alive and for every penny they can scrap
that's
together.
True.
Like, that's drama in a totally different way.
I'd watch a full Haas series with Schumacher and Mazepin going at it each week. They won't even stand next to each other at media events.
They won't?
No, because they are over each other.
Oh, man. And they have to be with each other for a whole nother season, don't they?
Yeah.
So while we go there, let's talk about this.
So you're pulling up the drivers.
I'm pulling up the drivers because there's been a lot of announcements of different changes and lineups coming up for the 2022 season.
And who's confirmed? Because sometimes it's a big announcement just to say, hey, I've got a job next year.
So we have most people confirmed, it looks like.
So tell us walk us through everything.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So we know that Mercedes is going to be Hamilton and Russell, which could be really interesting.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Red Bull has confirmed Max and Sergio's again. And I'm really excited that Perez is going to get another chance to prove he can do it, because he had some strong races, but whatever. McLaren, Lando Norris, and Daniel Ricciardo.
Confirmed. Love both of those guys.
Both of them are just awesome. They seem to have good chemistry too.
Yeah.
I love them. Okay, so this doesn't have the team names. It has the logo. So can I identify?
This is when it gets hard.
Remember, I am not the expert. Alpine.
Yeah. Good job. Woo-hoo.
We have Ocon and Alonso. That's not a change.
Nope.
That's again. Hold on. AlphaTauri.
Nice.
Gasly and Tsunoda.
Yep.
Not a change.
Nope.
I'm kind of surprised they're not changing, but
why are you surprised? Tell us that.
Because Tsunoda hasn't done much except spin every week. Cause accidents and hit people or spin out. Congratulations, that's what you do.
Yep.
But he comes there with Honda money, so.
Yep.
Okay.
You guys could see her eyes. She's like, okay. Great.
Money talks to other people, not me.
Yeah, money talks.
Okay, for Haas, you have Mazepin. And Schumacher again. Schumacher, I find interesting because Haas is, they don't have great cars. So I feel like it's hard to tell what kind of driver you are. He hasn't been very impressive to me.
Nope.
But I don't know if he would do better in another car. Because Haas is a really struggling.
It's a garbage car.
Yeah. So how good can you be in that? I don't know. All right. So Aston Martin. We have Sebastian Vettel. Yay. Another one that I really like.
Yep.
And Lance Stroll. Moving on. Ferrari. We have Leclerc or Leclerc, however you say it. He says both.
He says his name both ways, which I find hilarious.
I feel like we hear Leclerc more often.
Yep.
With a hard C.
Mm-hmm. The British, I think, say Leclerc more often, too.
Okay. I don't know. And then Carlos Sainz. Again, not a change. Then we have Alfa Romeo. And here's where we start to have question marks. We know we have Valtteri Bottas. We don't have confirmed the second driver. So he's currently the other second driver. The reason they have an empty spot is because Kimi Raikkonen announced his retirement.
Good job. Yep.
So who's the other driver? Because I can't remember.
Currently.
Oh, Latifi.
Nope.
Dang it.
But he and Latifi look a lot alike.
Who is it?
It's Antonio Giovinazzi.
Giovinazzi, yes. Yeah, you don't hear his name a lot.
They're tall.
Besides talking about passing or...
Yeah, they're tall, good-looking guys who drive anonymous races.
Sorry.
But they both come with sponsor money.
And he's Italian, probably, yep. Based on his name, so... That helps. They're going to like him. So do you think they're going to keep him?
I honestly have no idea, nor no one I listen to or follow on Twitter knows for sure.
Interesting.
Because with a guy like Bottas, he could be an awesome team leader.
That will be interesting to see how if he is a primary driver, how does he do in that
lead
position? Yeah.
And
with somebody else having to back him up.
That
could be interesting.
There are people, all these teams have academies, have young drivers, sort of like baseball in the farm system. And so one option, Alfa Romeo could bring up some young kid we haven't heard of and say, you're going to learn from Valtteri. And Valtteri, you're going to train him. Your job is to get as many points as you can and train him. Hmm. And sometimes they'll do contract deals where, hey, if you train him well enough and they end up doing this, you know, then you get a little bonus. Or they might just bring Giovinazzi back because he's a known commodity.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
All right. So when do we expect to hear? Is there any rumblings out there about when we will expect to know?
Not that I've heard. These things can go long. I mean, we remember Checo wasn't announced until the season was over.
Yeah. Yeah, because at Netflix, it showed, and he was saying, I'm just going to drive this race as if it's my last, just going in, because he didn't know if he was going to have a have a place or not.
And they don't have to know. So it can really drag on.
Oof.
Yeah. So that's Alfa Romeo. Right. Who knows who's going to fill the seat next to Valtteri?
And then Williams, two unconfirmed drivers. We don't know at all. So they lost George Russell was one of their drivers.
Hmm.
He's moving to Mercedes.
We know it's not a swap because Valtteri.
Yeah, Valtteri's going somewhere else. So we have someone to replace. And then Latifi is the other driver, right?
Mm-hmm. Nicholas Latifi. Nicky. He's meh. He's.
Yeah.
The biggest thing.
So what will they do?
When you look at.
Oh.
Is a guy good? Oh, go.
I feel like we have to bring up Albon.
Yeah.
What would we do? The big thing in question right now is, can they all work out an agreement for Albon to be able to drive? Because technically he's owned by Mercedes? No, he's owned by Red Bull.
Yep.
But represented by Toto or something?
No, Toto owns, I think, 15% of Williams.
Okay.
And so, which is weird that a guy can own another. It'd be like Jerry Jones owning a chunk of the Broncos, but whatever.
Which is how they get kind of their farm system set up.
Correct. And so Toto, who is the principal and owns a big chunk of the Mercedes team, he doesn't want a guy in kind of one of his little junior teams owned by his biggest rival. Because theoretically, Christian Horner, who runs Red Bull, could be like, hey,
tell me
everything they're doing.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot of pressure to put on a sweet kid like Albon.
Yeah. And
he's too sweet of a kid to do that too.
I honestly think that's what'll happen. I think
that Albon will go to
Williams. We know this about Christian Horner, and you, dear listener, know this about Christian Horner because you've watched Netflix. If he can get credit, he will take it. And so if he can get all the credit for getting Albon this drive.
Yes.
Yes, he's not a Red Bull racer driver anymore. But the reason he has a drive today is because of me and because of Red Bull.
And Christian has already come out to say, I hope Mercedes doesn't get in the way of keeping Albon from getting a seat. So he's already come out to make it seem like it's because of him that Albon gets to drive. So
I think if they structure all the press agreements, everything where Christian can take a lion's share of the credit, his sacrifice back to the team will let him out of his contract. He's never going to drive for Red Bull again. So it's not a big deal to them. Red Bull looks good, which is not often they look good in how they treat people. It's a win-win.
So do you think they'll keep Latifi for the second spot, or do you think they'll bring up somebody new?
I don't know. If it was still the Williams family.
Or bring back somebody old.
Yeah, they could. Old people come back all the time. It could be Nico Hulkenberg.
Yeah.
If this was the old family who used to run the team, I would say it'd either be Latifi or Hulkenberg. But Williams, in the middle of last season, got bought by a hedge fund out of the Bay. And
because they had no money.
Our other podcast is a billions podcast. And so we know all about hedge funds. And they make weird plays that go big. And so it wouldn't shock me at all if they get a young kid in F2. Because they also have lots of kids that they have access to. And Albon is young, but has driven a lot and has even driven in another series.
But he's not proven an F1 yet.
I don't think
he's only had, he had a couple of races when he was, he had a couple of good races when he was driving with Red Bull, but it was a struggle for him. So would they, I think they would stick with Latifi of someone who feels comfortable. So they only have one driver that they're trying to see. Can you do it? Because poor Albon is coming up proving he can handle the stress of being an F1 driver. Which, if you've watched the Netflix show, you know it's a lot harder than just driving in a circle. To be an F1 driver is so much mental pressure and strain that you have to be able to handle. And that's something that Albon struggled with when he was with Red Bull.
And especially that seat.
Yes.
Every time you turn Netflix on, Red Bull has a different driver next to Max.
Yes. They've really struggled with finding someone who could be number two to Max. Because Christian Horner is, he is very demanding.
Yep. It is not a team I'd want to drive for if I had a choice.
Not at all.
So I think you're right. But I think we will learn a lot about this Williams regime for the future. So in a few years when we're trying to think, okay, what are they going to do now? We'll have a bead on them because of what they do here. If they are just going to be sort of Jerry Jones and we're going to roll the dice and we're just going to see if it comes up right, we'll see a young kid
that's true
you or I have never heard of come in with Albon.
I'm not watching anything besides F1.
I'm not watching F2.
No. But
if it's a guy you and I have heard of with Albon, we'll know
what their strategy was.
They want to vary their risk.
It'll be interesting.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So coming up this week, we have another race.
Yep. This is the third of the triple header.
Pretty unusual for them to have triple headers because of all that goes into them getting to a race, setting up, and getting ready. There's usually time in between. So this is pretty rare for them have triple headers.
If you want to lose an hour of your time, I would Google F1 logistics.
Red Bull has some great, great videos and blogs about what happens. How do we get from place to place and all of the logistics that go into that? It's mind-boggling.
It's fascinating. And it sounds so dumb. Why do I want to hear about how they pack up semi-trucks and move them? But if you start, you'll lose 2 hours of your time.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It's as if you like football, it's if a team brings their own locker room in training facilities with them to every game. And they just show up at an empty high school stadium and turn it into a pro stadium every week, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
Boom.
Wow. Yeah, that was really good. That's exactly what it's like. And you can't be late.
Yeah, and you have to have everything in a certain spot because on race day and even qualities and practice, time matters and every second matters. And you can't be going, where is that one wrench that only works for this one special spot of the car here? Everything has to be in the exact same spot in the exact same order. And
we're running late. Will you guys not start practice until we're ready?
Everything is so time constricted and space constricted. So it's fascinating to read and look into. I think so. But
it makes me
want to go to the container store, you know. But
just imagine if
this
week's
podcast sponsored by the Container Store.
If you work for a Container Store,
we love you. Call us.
Email that's P1podcast @gmail.com. Just we will take cash or bins, either way.
Yeah.
Bins or Benjamins from the Container Store. But yes, a triple header is rare.
So this week they're going to be in.
They're going to be in Monza,
down in Italy.
Yep.
A big deal for Ferrari and Alfa Romeo because they get so excited, right?
Mm-hmm. Alfa Romeo is weird. They're a multinational team.
Okay, but
they're,
sorry.
Yeah, no, they are. It's partly their home race. It's partly Ferrari's home race. It's partly AlphaTauri's home race.
So anything about the Monza course that we need to know?
Traditionally, there are tracks that get talked about as this is a Mercedes track. This is a Red Bull track. And even as recently as 2020, it held up. You kind of knew, okay.
Which type of car would do well at that race?
This is a track that Red Bull is just hoping to nick a point or get second. Or this track, Monaco, works really well for the Red Bull cars, not so well for Mercedes. Barcelona, Mercedes dominate.
So is Monza a city or a city track or an actual?
It's an actual track.
Okay.
And the thing about Monza, for people to know, is every team has a specific setup on their car just for Monza. And they usually call it their Monza spec.
Why?
You barely touch the brake pedal.
Really?
It is. And it's such
like a. Lots of straights or.
It's such a dumb name, but you will hear it called the Temple of Speed.
Oh, that is dumb.
It is, I think it's like 90% of the lap is flat out.
Really?
And so you run basically no downforce. Everything is just flat.
So does that mean lots of opportunity for passing?
Sometimes. Off the top of my head, there's two places. There's one chicane, which is a really fancy European word for a tight dog leg, where you can pass after a straight.
I thought chicane was just a bunch of little tight S curves or something together.
Yeah, it's an up and an over and then an up.
Oh, okay.
And then at the end of the lap, they call it, so original, the parabolica. It's a really gradual.
This sounds like math.
Curve into the straight.
Oh.
And people take what is a weird line because some, I don't mean it derogatory, some nerd did math and trigonometry and told drivers, you know, 10,
probably
15
went to
years
high school
ago.
With that person.
You probably did. You know, hey, go take it this way. Don't follow the track. Square it off in this way. And it gets you aligned straight with the straightaway sooner, and it gives them like 10 extra meters where they're just going straight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which means you go faster. So,
but when there's 20 cars fighting for that same spot,
it's hard.
Yeah.
Theoretically, this is a Mercedes track.
Okay.
But France was a Mercedes track, and Red Bull won and got a double podium. And a lot of the, is this a Red Bull track or Mercedes track, has had to do with power. Because until this year,
Red Bull's had a stronger.
Red Bull's had a bad engine. whoever's putting their engine in them, whether it be Alpine, Renault, or Honda, it hasn't been as strong as the Mercedes engine. So the tracks where you use a lot of power just get defaulted to a Mercedes track, with good reason, because they've won a bunch. So theoretically, this is a Mercedes track, but it's kind of Ron Burgundy Mercedes track, question mark?
Okay.
Because who knows?
Okay.
And Christian Horner has said this is the last track that completely favors us or them.
Ouch.
And has basically just said, our goal here is to minimize the damage they're going to do to us, because for the rest of the season, these are pretty even tracks and we both have even ground. So basically, okay, they would be happy with a 2 and a 4, with Max getting second, Checo getting fourth, setting them up.
Checo can get up to fourth. He can do it.
Mm-hmm. When they were in Imola, the other Italian place, he qualified third. He almost out-qualified Max.
Yeah.
He did out-qualify Max.
I don't know. I don't remember.
But, so yeah, Checo's got the speed.
He does. He's just had a lot of really bad luck. And then just enough, I think, to struggling just to get out there.
And comfort.
Comfort, yeah.
The Red Bull car is built for one guy's driving style.
And this is his first year in a completely different type of car and everything, but...
So
it should be fun. There's only 9 races left of this season. 9.
Wow, this is like when you're on Netflix 4 points. And you know there's 2 episodes left. You're like, oh, we're running out of time.
Yeah. So right now we are looking at a black screen with red print going 9 races left in season that Netflix is telling us.
Oh, man.
So what's the drama going to be? Williams figuring out their drivers. 4 points between Max and Lewis.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's going to be really interesting.
It's nuts. Yeah. So I didn't tell you we were going to try this.
Oh, okay.
What is one?
Oh, I have to make a prediction?
Yeah, bold prediction. Not somebody's going to finish. But
oh, okay.
There will be 8 safety cars, or there'll be no safety cars.
See, that stuff, because I don't know enough about the track or anything.
I'm just saying make a prediction of any kind.
Insert joke here about Maz's spin, right?
Yeah.
Marzipan's going to spin out. Yuki's going to hit somebody and then get mad and act like it wasn't his fault.
So a combo prediction of a Mazepin spin and a Yuki spin.
Or Tsunoda will hit somebody, cause an incident.
An incident. A Mazepin spin, a Yuki incident. He blames on the other person.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm going to go with... One is bold, one is not.
Okay.
My bold one is I'm going to go with Lando Norris podium.
That would be really interesting. I'd love that.
But
you also just like Lando.
I love Lando. So
I think that's going to be your prediction.
A lot.
Every race.
Eventually
you'll get right.
If I keep trying, eventually I got to get one. My not bold prediction is that Lewis is going to bitch about his tires on the radio and then set fastest lap.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
I don't
after.
Believe anything Lewis says on the radio.
Nope. For the record, I'm convinced there are code words. And if he gripes with certain adjectives, it means the tires are fine. If it's other adjectives, he really is griping about his tires.
Well, and I think sometimes it's a lot of his griping. And I think you can tell this based on what the engineer responds back to him. Or any of the drivers, not just him. You hear it on other drivers. They will complain or bitch about something. And you hear the other driver, the engineer go, mm-hmm, okay, we'll look into that. I'm like, I've used that exact voice with my kids before.
What does that mean?
That is the, mm-hmm, okay, you're just tired or hungry.
Yeah.
It's whatever you're saying, it's your feelings right now, but it has no basis in... truth or reality, or 10 minutes from now, you're going to forget you even meant that or said it. It's just you're in a very stressful situation. Anything will come out and it doesn't really matter. And let's just get through the race. So they just say, okay, Why are they doing that? We'll look into that later.
Okay, that's interesting. We're going to start tracking that.
So watch that, because a lot of times Lewis will complain, oh, these tires are, it's not going fast enough. Da-da-da-da. And the engineer will just go, okay, we'll look at that. Okay, marked that. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good to know. And they just say little things like, just very, uh-huh, nice, okay, yes, dear.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I think they're just letting him vent his emotions, but it has nothing to do with what's actually going on.
Okay, yeah, I'm...
Which is pretty weird, because Lewis is still pretty calm and composed in most of his messages.
He really is.
He doesn't get too frazzled. In his voice, at least.
He whinges a lot. He gripes a lot, but it's...
He whines. But it's usually pretty calm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it sounds like, are you racing?
Yeah.
The way he's, hey guys, my tires are vibrating a little. Everything okay?
I'm like, guys, my car's smoking. Is that a problem? Going 200 miles an hour.
Whereas some other drivers, you can tell that they are really working hard, because it's hard work driving one of those things. It takes a lot of strength.
We've seen the stuff they do with their trainers with the neck.
Yes.
No,
it takes
thanks.
A lot of strength to actually drive the car. So obviously they're going to be difficult to talk. But Lewis always sounds like, meh, no problem.
It's all good.
It's a breeze.
Just turn a right, turn a left, driving fast. Yeah. It's all good. It's easy.
Yeah. But that's what I say about a lot of his whining. So
that's a good point.
Have a snack.
Have a snack, Lewis. Get some drink.
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
None of us are. He needs a Snickers.
I mean,
he just needs a Snickers.
Here's another commercial. This segment has been brought to you by.
Yeah, we'll get sponsored segments.
Eventually, someday.
We won't turn down any money.
We'll make our own.
Like an F1 team.
We'll make our own commercials.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun.
If they don't come to us, we'll just make them up.
That would be a lot of fun. Well, this has been an awesome first episode. Oh, no, we're not done.
We have to do the Danny Rick moment of the week.
Oh, I forgot about Danny Rick's moment of the week. Danny Ricardo is from Netflix. He's hilarious. He's lovable. We don't care where he finishes.
The guy who lights up the room, right?
Every week, he does more than once a week. But on every episode, we're going to bring and talk about a funny moment of his of the week. So what's your moment of the week?
So the big moment of the week was he went and posted a picture on Instagram of him wearing one of the orange flags that people were wearing at the race, like big long capes.
Celebrating Max.
And he went and bought them. And he's joked before about all the orange for Max. He always says, oh, people are so excited for McLaren here. Yay. Because McLaren's also orange. So it's been fun. Mm-hmm. But so he posted a picture of himself wearing one of those flags and saying, always love to support local business, y'all.
That's awesome.
So like he just went and bought it. You know, probably paid 10 euros or something for that little flag and was like, woohoo.
But not all, he doesn't have ego, because that's ostensibly supporting another driver, a guy that he doesn't have the best history with.
Yeah.
But he's a nice enough guy. We're all mature. It's just part of his thing.
I think the way he handles a lot of the stress is by laughing and making jokes about it. So he's just going to, if he can make himself or somebody else laugh for it, okay. It can't be too serious. And that was his funny moment of the week.
I love it.
Can't wait to see what he does in Monza.
It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. The end of a triple header. Everybody's going to be a little tired head.
Everybody's going to be very tired.
And it's going to be nuts.
And it's been a big week with announcements. Will Kimi be back?
Kimi won't be. Well, I don't know. COVID, who knows?
Interesting, yeah. So, who knows?
Tune in next week to find out what happened.
Woohoo.
On episode 2 of That's P1 podcast. Thanks for listening. If you're a sponsor, again,
call us.
call us or email us at thatsb1podcast@gmail.com and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast.
Let us know you're listening.
Yeah, let us know you're listening.
We want to hear who's here.
Any feedback. I hate this. Talk less about this. Talk more about this. Unless it's aero and math that we literally can't talk more about, we'd love to talk more about it. So let us know. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.